Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Howard Thurman wrote, "Christmas returns, as it always does, with its assurance that life is good. It is the time of lift to the spirit." Christmas returns every year, and for that I think some of us are thankful. It is a time of joy. It is a magic time, even for adults, as well as children. It's the kind of beauty and joy that we long for. We put our whole hearts into it with trees and presents. We put our love into our gifts and our songs. We sing and declare, "I'll be home for Christmas," even when we can't be there. And it is, of course, a time of generosity, a time when giving is far more fun than receiving. We watch the TV and we see all the feel-good stories about people who do things that are nice for one another. This year, it's the layaway bandits, the people who are paying off people who need layaway. It is the simple joy of giving a gift to someone else. And every year, this time and this story comes through the birth of a child, the birth of a little baby. It is a story about a poor woman and a baby without station or wealth. And whether your image of Jesus is the sweet little Jesus baby boy, or Will Ferrell praying to the 8-pound baby Jesus in Talladega Nights, it is a child that brings us together, a baby that we come to know tonight. And a baby that is so vulnerable that we know his story and we know what the future holds and how many struggles he will have. We know the story of his life as an adult, but tonight we pause to embrace the meaning of his birth. I have read that a human baby is the most vulnerable creature born. It cannot do anything for itself. It needs our care. And babies have a way of reaching us, don't they? Even if we think we're not baby people. Because of their vulnerability, because they do need us. Babies help us put our guard down, and during this time of the year, it is the one baby that teaches us to put our guard down, because our hearts want to feel. We know we want to be vulnerable, even if we don't know how. We want to love, and this is the kind of love this time of year that is a non-threatening love. It feels like a love that comes without expectation of us. Because if you're an adult or a young person on your way to adulthood, you know that love is always, always risky. Most of us have tales to tell of love that is lost or tales of betrayal or failure. And then a small child comes along this time of year to help us put our guard down. And if you think about it, it needs to be a baby, because if the story of Jesus started as a teenager, I don't think any of us would be here. You were a teenager, remember? And if you've had teenagers, do you remember the day that you said hallelujah, that they were growing up? So it needs to be a baby. And what's interesting about the Bible and the story of Jesus is we have the story of a baby, and then we have the story of the man. And the stories of Jesus as a man may affect us very differently. To know Jesus, the man, is riskier. It asks of us the kind of commitment that grown-up love requires. This is another story from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and his reputation spread throughout the region. He was teaching in the Galilean synagogues, and all were loud in their praise. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Entering the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his habit, Jesus stood up to do the reading. When the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held captive, recovery of sight to those who are blind, and release to those in prison, to proclaim the year of our God's favor." Rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he said to them, "Today in your hearing, this scripture passage is fulfilled." And all who were present spoke favorably of him. They marveled at the eloquence of the words on Jesus' lips, and they said, "Surely this isn't Mary and Joseph's son." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Surely this isn't Mary and Joseph's son. Surely this isn't the same baby whose story we embrace on this special night. The story of the Christ child in all of its vulnerability invites us each year and reintroduces us to the child who would become the man. I believe that the story of the child helps us to pay attention once again to what is being offered to us. It gently guides us from the manger to the cross and beyond to the empty tomb. To follow the story of the man is indeed risky business, for it asks of us a mature spiritual life, a life that calls us each day to know the man whom we worship tonight as a child, the child who has come to reveal to us the love of God. Christ's divinity is central to the Christmas story, and as a baby, we can relax and ponder its meaning. Christ's divinity and Christ's humanity reveals God to us in ways that may be unsettling. For we first know that the child brings the light into the world, and that the man is the light of the world and offers us new life. But he also teaches us how we are to treat one another. He teaches us in his life how to love. And he asks us for a grown-up commitment. The story of tonight has been told many ways for hundreds of years. But we mustn't ever forget that the baby was real, with arms and legs and hands and feet, and that the man is real, with flesh, with hands and legs, and with teachings, and with sacrifice. On this night, if we say that we are willing to take the risk, to make a commitment, Christ can be our grown-up Christmas wish. For he offered the world a deep and profound kind of love. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor, to free those who are captive, to make those who are blind see again, to release everyone from the prisons that they are in. This is a night where it's difficult to look ahead, because wouldn't we all rather stay in this place? Wouldn't we rather wrap the baby in some swaddling clothes and remain here with the illumination of this night? And we can for a time. In fact, I know I need to return to this night over and over again in order to understand to what Christ is calling me. But brothers and sisters, this story loses its meaning if we're not willing to travel all the way with the one who came to release us from all that holds us back from loving completely, from having a life committed to caring for one another, every single one another, and to have a life where we know that we are loved and we are forgiven. The manger always, always leads to the cross, and the cross always leads to resurrection and life. For on this night, Mary held in her arms the resurrection and the life that we all seek. So tonight we will linger. We will linger in the manger with the child and the shepherds and the animals and the angels singing glory to God in the highest. The gift of this child is an invitation to an entire life filled with God's grace, God's mercy, God's compassion, forgiveness, and love. Tonight, the star we follow leads us to the sweet baby Jesus boy, and then on to the Christ who invites us to love and to be loved. Amen.